Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, March 26th. So the unemployment stats for the last week came out this morning with a staggering national number of 3.3 million new unemployment claims. Now, by comparison, last week it was about 200,000. In the worst week of the Great Recession a decade ago, there were 665,000 claims. According to a CUNY Public Health School survey, 29% of New York City households now have at least one member unemployed. And the hardest hit are Latino households, with 41% reporting an unemployed member. By income, hardest hit is lower income groups. 34% of people in households making $50,000 or less in the city now have at least one person out of work. In New Jersey, more than 150,000 new unemployment claims were filed last week. America Today is voluntarily shutting down the economy as a temporary measure so people can stay home and flatten the curve of the virus. And Governor Cuomo says it's actually starting to work.
This past Sunday, the projection was that hospitalizations were doubling every 2 days, okay? On Monday, the numbers suggested that the hospitalizations were doubling every 3.4 days. On Tuesday, the projection suggested that the hospitalizations were doubling every 4.7 days. Now, that is almost too good to be true.
The results of not flattening the curve earlier can be seen most intensely in New York and New Jersey. The federal government predicts that all 1,800 intensive care unit beds in the city will be full by tomorrow. In New Jersey, there were 62 deaths at last report, with hospitals becoming overburdened, especially in Bergen, Essex, and Union counties, and the peak in those counties expected to still be 3 weeks away. In one instance, New Jersey state health officials are reported to be moving all the residents of the St. Joseph Senior Nursing Home in Woodbridge to another facility, according to the Morristown Daily Record. The transfer operation was requested after 24 of the 94 patients tested positive for COVID-19. The virus also spread to their caregivers, nursing home, to their caregivers in the nursing home, according to executives from that company, leaving the St. Joseph's facility severely short-staffed. Everyone there is now presumed positive, according to the Morristown Daily Record. A partial remedy for the country on the economy side is coming from Congress, with the $2 trillion relief bill passing the Senate now 96 to nothing, and the relief bill apparently about to pass the House as well. Joining us now is a member of our local congressional delegation, Democratic Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill, the freshman former Navy pilot and federal prosecutor from Northern New Jersey's 11th Congressional District, centered in Parsippany and including Morristown, Livingston, Madison, and Wayne in the east, and out to Sparta in the northwest. So that's parts of Essex, Sussex, Morris, and Passaic counties. Congresswoman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
With the 3.3 million number nationally coming out just this morning and over 150,000 new unemployment claims statewide in New Jersey, can you begin to describe the unemployment picture in your district?
Well, Brian, it covers so many people, people who had been employed at jobs for, you know, several decades, up until people who are employed in some of our newer jobs in the gig economy, like Uber drivers. So we're talking small businesses, restaurants, larger companies. We have some headquarters of companies. We're just seeing people across the economic spectrum losing their jobs right now.
The relief bill passed the Senate 96 to nothing. But in New York, as the epicenter state, listen to this clip. Governor Cuomo is actually not pleased.
It would really be terrible for the state of New York. the $2 trillion bill, what does it mean for New York state government? It means $3.8 billion. $3.8 billion sounds like a lot of money. Rob Mejica, the budget director, can talk you through the numbers, but we're looking at a shortfall, revenue shortfall, of $9, $10, $15 billion.
Now, that judgment stands in contrast to New York Senators Schumer and Gillibrand. Here's Schumer.
Real help for state and local governments, $150 billion worth. Our state and local governments are hurting. Many of them are going broke. They need the help.
So that's the conversation they're having in New York, Congresswoman. How's the bill for New Jersey, in your opinion?
Well, I think you're hearing some good points. First of all, we have to get money out quickly. We have to get these block grants out to the states. It was one of the first things my governor asked for from the delegation was get us some state block grants to help us address here in New Jersey all of the difficulties that we're seeing across the board. So it is $150 billion for state, tribal, and local relief. The numbers I have are a little higher than what Governor Cuomo said. I have about $7.5 billion going to New York, still not enough. And in New Jersey, we have a little bit over $3 billion going to New Jersey. But you're right. I've got to agree with Governor Cuomo in the sense that here New York and New Jersey are some of the hardest hit or the hardest hit states in the nation. And yet, you know, when you look at New Jersey getting a little over $3 billion and places like Georgia and Ohio with around, 1,000 cases getting over $4 billion, you kind of scratch your head. I mean, we really do need to do more for states like mine, states like New York that have been so incredibly hard hit by this. We're seeing hospitals overflowing, unemployment rolls overflowing. We're really in a crisis here. So we've got to address that, and I think more money is going to have to come into New York and New Jersey. And yet I tell people, this is our third corona bill. There will be a fourth. There will be more than that, likely. And so we've got to get this money out to the states, but then certainly I will be fighting, and I'm sure the New York delegation will be fighting, to get more money into our states.
I see you wanted, for example, cost of living adjustments to the bill for cost of living differences, like these checks that are going to go out to most Americans. $1,200 goes a lot further in Peoria than it does in Parsippany. Did you get that in the bill?
In so many cases, states like mine with a high cost of living get a short shrift in this these pieces of federal legislation, and especially in the instance where we're seeing so much of the disease ravaging New York and New Jersey, it makes sense, too, to have that cost of living adjustment so we can better take care of our citizens here.
And, Congresswoman, this will include 4 months of enhanced unemployment benefits for certain groups of workers, I see. Can you explain who's eligible and how soon they'll be able to apply?
Sure. So this has been, we've tried to dramatically expand unemployment benefits in this time. So not just laid off workers from traditional jobs will be eligible, but also gig workers, furloughed workers, so workers that anticipate going back to their jobs but don't have their job right now. All these types of workers will be eligible for unemployment insurance. It will be expanded by $600 a week, so that'll be $600 on top of what your state is paying. And this will, as you mentioned, be up to 4 months, so this will go through the end of the year. And, Brian, I've heard a little bit of some kind of odd discussions about how this might be a giveaway. But this is taking care of people. You can only receive this, of course, if you apply for unemployment insurance. This is just really so we can take care of people right now, and then hopefully, as soon as we get past this crisis, immediately ramp up our economy again.
There are also different kinds of help in the bill, I see, for smaller and larger businesses. How can companies access that?
So that is, businesses can apply online for current small business loans, and many of these loans will then be forgiven. So, for example, if you can keep your payroll going, your payroll costs, if you're paying for anybody, any employees, you're paying less than $100,000 to, you can get part of that loan forgiven. You can take out a loan for your interest payment on any mortgage you have that you've incurred before February 15th. You can get that forgiven, payment on rent, payment on utilities. These are all loans that you can take right now to meet some of these costs and then get those loans forgiven. And just a flag, too, if you have already, if you're a business owner and you have already laid off workers after February 15th, you can rehire those workers and take advantage of these loans and loan forgiveness programs with no penalties.
Does the bill address bill paying relief, like temporary suspension of rent or mortgage or utility payments?
So we have, for American homeowners with federally backed loans like FHA, USDA, VA, mortgages, you can request forbearance. And there's a federally backed 60-day moratorium on evictions. But I tell all people who have private mortgages from private lenders, many of our private lenders across the country are working hard to work with their clients to make sure that they can support them in this critical time. So I would, if you are having trouble making your payments, reach out to your private lender. And many of them have been more than willing to put a moratorium on mortgages or work with you right now to see what you can pay and how you can best work that out.
Let's take a phone call from Kelly in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. Kelly, you're on WNYC with Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill. Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about this limit that they have determined by income. If a person makes slightly more than this $75,000 cutoff, yet they, that means they won't, it sounds like they won't get the check. But what about people who don't have double income households? I'm a single parent. I have two children. And it sounds like the people who would be getting the checks would also be getting money for their kids. Does that mean if you don't have, you don't meet this limit, you don't get help even in a household with children?
So if you're making as a single parent, if you're making less than $75,000, you'll get $1,200 a person and $500 adult, and then $500 per child. If you are a two-income household, joint filers, then you'll have up to $150,000. You can still get those payments. So between $75,000 and $99,000, the amount of payments starts to go down, and then above $99,000 for individuals, you don't get those payments. But this is an area that I think, part of what I was trying to put in was a cost of living adjustment for our area. I'm happy to take another look at single parents as well, and see what we can do to kind of protect people's children or their income during this period of time. Make no mistake, this is a good start in certain areas, but we have really got to do more, and that's why many of us are already working on the next stimulus bill.
Carolyn in Monmouth County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carolyn.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian, for everything. We love your program.
Thank you.
My question is, will we still be eligible for the individual checks if our income is so low that we don't have to pay income tax? We file every year, but we really don't have to. I had heard somewhere along the line that if you don't have to pay income tax, you're not eligible. Is that so?
No, that isn't. That's not true. We fought to add some different things to this bill to make sure more people were taken care of. So, if you have a Social Security payments or retiree and people on disability, everyone in that category is eligible for this special payment. So the federal government will be able to send you a payment via the usual way you get your Social Security payment.
Right. And what I've read is that it'll be easy. Well, for people who make, how can I put this most clearly? it'll be easy to get the checks to people who filed income taxes the last 2 years, harder for lower income workers who made too little to file. You're telling us for senior citizens, if you're on Social Security or in the system, you'll get a check. How about for younger people who are workers but making so little that they didn't even file income tax returns the last couple of years? How can you make sure that they who need the most, among the most, get these checks?
Certainly. And that's a gap that we've already noted and are looking at how to take care of people. Because really right now, there are certain people that have kind of fallen through. So if you're not receiving Social Security payments, if you're not on disability, if you don't have an SSA 1099 form, which is the Social Security benefit statement, or you don't file taxes, you could fall through in this area. And that's something that I've really flagged because, you know, we have certain people that just, you know, are going to fall through the cracks on this one. And like you pointed out, Brian, some of the most needy people, some of the people that will most need these checks may, in fact, fall through. So, like, again, you know, this was kind of a bill that we want to get out and we want to take care of some people, but it's not the final bill that we're doing on coronavirus.
Steve, in Jefferson Township in New Jersey, you're on WNYC with Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. And I'm calling about my daughter's and son-in-law's small business, which is a daycare school in Jefferson. They a reasonably large business in our view. They have about 180 children normally. And over the past month, they've gone down to about 10 kids. They tried to maintain their staff as long as they could and pay them. But, you know, at a certain point, they didn't want to come and be in the school either. So at the end of this month, they're going to have to close. Now, the state and local government has, you know, tried to ask daycare, and they were instructed to try and stay open as long as they could. But they're facing their next month's rent. They're facing expenses that will make them bankrupt. So the question is, there's been talk of $350 billion for small businesses, but it's confusing, and we don't know where to turn as far as how do you get reimbursed? How do you pay the landlord for the rent? You know, I've heard tax credits, which doesn't help them now. So what do we do?
For the daycare provider. Congresswoman, how can you help them?
Sure. So, you know, this is something that I hear from small business owners throughout our district. And I know I've even, you know, been speaking to some of our daycare providers about the very problems that they're having trying to take care of the children of first responders while at the same time having people that work at the daycare center that are afraid to come in. So we have small businesses throughout the district that are really struggling, and that's why we put so much money into supporting them. Initially, it was a small business loan program, but as I fought really hard against Simply Loans, because many of our small businesses don't know what this is going to look like on the other side, so they're hesitant to go into debt, and you know, in the event that they won't be able to pay it off or that they'll be in a crushing amount of debt. So what we're doing now is we're doing the loan forgiveness programs. So the loan forgiveness programs under the SBA will be things like payroll costs, as I said, interest payments on any mortgage that you have, payment of rent on a lease, payment on any utility service, and so these are all the different ways we're trying to help keep our small businesses solvent as they go through this. We're going to have this. We're continuing to update our website to put out information on the SBA. I also will tell you that the SBA website has unfortunately crashed a couple times because of so much interest in this. So we put resources in the bill to support the SBA's websites, et cetera, so people can get access to those loans and access to information. But you can call the SBA if you can't get through. I would suggest you call your congressional office. And like I said, we have, for our district, we have Step Up on our website.
Friday. Alex, in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC with Northern New Jersey Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to ask a political question of Congresswoman Sherrill. What can she and the Democrats do to hold President Trump and the Republicans to account for all this? Because I think a lot of people that follow the news see what a disastrous job he's doing in handling this, and yet his approval ratings seem to be going up during this. And I have to say, the absence of any counter narrative from the Democrats has really stunned me. Like, where are the plans for, if we were the governing party, what would we be doing? You know, the presumptive front runner, you know, Joe Biden is very light on details and is just giving vague bromides. And meanwhile, the Republicans can use their propaganda networks to push out these narratives all the time. So what are the Democrats doing to counter the narrative that, Trump is putting out there? I mean, they have the lieutenant governor of Texas is saying people might have to sacrifice and die. You know, like, imagine if someone, you know, in Obama's party was doing that. Could you imagine what the outcome would be there? So,
right. We played that clip the other day. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick saying he, as a senior citizen, would sign up for basically sacrificing his life or risking his life to reopen the economy, since it would be seniors who would be most at risk from further spread of the disease. And he said that in support of President Trump's stated desire to open the economy sooner rather than later. So, Congresswoman, what would you say, especially to the caller's general question about the Democrats versus President Trump and positioning?
Well, I guess first I would say I really fall on the side of Governor Cuomo when he said we're not sacrificing people to this disease. You know, we don't want to lose anyone. We don't want to lose anyone's grandma. We don't want to lose anyone's parent. I have a person in my district who's critically ill. He's in his 40s and has young children. I mean, I'm not willing to make that sacrifice, not to mention that we're talking about the greatest generation, who I think has already made so many sacrifices for us so that we can be here today. So to sort of somehow think that they should make, you know, the ultimate sacrifice now to this disease, when in fact what we really have to do, what is not only best for people across the country, but it also happens to be best for our economy, is do everything we can to flatten the curve now and do everything we can now to do the social distancing, to shelter in place, to stop the spread of this disease. And it's tough in the short term, but we'll reap economic benefits in the long term as we get past this disease.
But I'd that's a response to that one remark by Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick. What about the caller's larger question about President Trump going on TV every day, having these news conferences? They're the new Trump rallies. They're just on television. And his approval rating for handling the virus is up to 60%. And the caller says, Joe Biden isn't out there. He's offered a few bromides. Where's the counter narrative from your party?
Well, I think a lot of us right now, certainly myself, as I come from a military background, you know, you do the work on the ground. You are fighting the battle on the ground, and there will be a time for what we call in the military an after-action report, what went right and what went wrong. But right now, we are just fighting the fight on the ground here, especially in places like New Jersey and in places like New York. I think that people like Governor Cuomo and Governor Murphy are presenting the counter narrative of how we fight this and how we do what's right for people in this country. And I'll tell you, you know, a lot of us are trying to do what's right and fighting in a very bipartisan way for things like the Defense Production Act, because we critically need that support. But I also think that right now, this country needs, they need to see their elected officials doing everything they can for them. And I don't, you know, in my district, I think when people see partisan battles, they see that as wasted energy and energy that's not going to serving them. And so, like I said, I think what we have to do now, as I would say, not just as Democrats, but as Republicans, as any elected official, is make sure you're doing everything you can for the people in your district. And then we can, once we do flatten the curve, once we get to the other side of this, I think there will be time to talk about how it was handled, how it should have been handled, and what the best path forward is.
What do you think about this? And this will be the last question. The New York Times editorial board is calling for a nationwide 2-week shelter-in-place policy, meaning something as strict as in New York for the whole country, in effect isolating the corona-positive population and largely freezing the spread in place if it works. Would you support or advocate for that in Congress?
Yeah, Brian, I have been very much a proponent of a two-week, really, you know, everybody working incredibly hard to just halt this. We have seen what happens in other countries when they don't do everything they can to stop the flow. As everyone will say, kind of the cliche is, we want to look more like South Korea and not like Italy. We know how bad this can get. We're already on the front lines of it here. So yes, I am a huge proponent of taking 2 weeks, doing everything we can to halt the spread of this, and then figuring out what the best way forward is. But right now, it feels like when we see the doubling of cases in places like New York and New Jersey and Louisiana, it feels like we've got to do something more drastic so that we don't end up in a far worse place.
Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill, Democrat from New Jersey's 11th District, centered in Parsippany. Thank you so much for your time today. I know there's a lot going on.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is obviously also a daily coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York, or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet at Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.